One of the greatest miracles on earth is taking place at this very moment. Various images are appearing on the screen, and perceptions such as color, life, closeness, distance, depth, beauty, and lovableness are forming somewhere in the pitch dark in your brain. That is because you are seeing. Whatever you have in your life is meaningful through your senses, vision, and others. Your family, your friends, your house, your office, and everything else in your surroundings, you quickly identify thanks to your vision. Without eyes, you could never get a quick, complete sense of everything that's happening around you. Without them, you could never imagine colors, forms, scenes, or human faces. But you do have eyes, and thanks to them, you can see your surroundings, and you are at this moment able to watch this film. Nor does the act of vision cost you very much effort. To see an object, all you have to do is turn your gaze at it. You don't need to bother giving project, capture, and analyze orders to your eyes, the optical nerves running to the back of your brain, nor to the brain itself. Without having to work out the optical measurement, your eye's lens can focus onto distant objects. You only desire to see, and within a fraction of a second, that process is carried out for you. But are you aware what a great miracle sight actually is? Do not forget, every moment we open or close our eyes, every image we see, are means for us to give thanks to Almighty God, who created everything out of nothing. God brought you out of your mother's wombs, knowing nothing at all, and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts, so that perhaps you would show thanks. Over the last few seconds, approximately 100 billion operations have been completed inside your eyes. However fantastic it may seem, you possess an example of the universe's ultimate technology. No scientist has ever come close to fully grasping it, let alone inventing anything remotely similar. Considering the eye's complex structure and special function, it occupies only a very small volume of our body. Its location enables us to control and direct our bodies and limbs in an optimum way. Imagine for a moment if our eyes were fixed somewhere on our knees, or worse, our ankles. Since we could see nothing more than the path we were walking, upper parts of our bodies, especially the head, would keep banging into unseen obstacles. Given such a mismatched anatomy, many routine tasks like eating or using tools would become problems in their own right. Beside the optimum location in the body, your eyes are also situated in a perfect position on the face. Were they anywhere else, under the nose, for example, it would be a literally uphill struggle to provide the same safe viewing angle, not to mention the aesthetic appearance. The eyes are ideally positioned at an area most comfortable for vision. The wondrous features of the eye go much further than that, however. From the eyelashes to the cornea, from tear formation to the eyelids, there is a separate miracle in every detail. Without being aware of it, people blink their eyes thousands of times a day. These mostly involuntary movements make it possible for the eyes to preserve themselves from intense light and external particles. By blinking every few seconds, as if on autopilot, the eyelids moisten and cleanse the eyes like a car's windshield wipers. While opening and shutting, the eyelid perfectly fits the convex shape of the eye, contacting the entire surface of the eye's outside layer. Did the eyelid not fit the eyeball's curve so precisely, it would be impossible to remove dust particles remaining in the unreachable corners of the eye's enclaves. This unconscious operation, which most people take for granted, is actually an important blessing. What if it were not automatic? Human beings would remember to blink only after detectably large amounts of substance had already accumulated in their eyes. Since the tiniest speck of dust entering the eye would eventually create major problems, this would lead to infection. Besides, due to this incomplete halfway cleaning, vision would be blurred. Another critical point in the blinking process is its duration. For survival, man needs to be informed, with no interruptions, of his ever-changing environment. To satisfy this condition, blinking occupies only a very brief time without disrupting the continuity of perception. Any longer blinking time might have caused serious dangers, while driving on the highway, for instance, and not noticing a suddenly appearing car in time to swerve. These delicate balances in the blinking processes, which we perform unconsciously right from the moment we are born, are one of the manifestations of God's incomparable creation. O man, what has deluded you in respect of your noble Lord, He who created you and formed you and proportioned you and assembled you in whatever way He willed? The tear is a very unusual liquid, with various ingredients serving different special functions. Primarily, a teardrop protects the eye against germs. The eye is disinfected by lysozyme, a germicidal enzyme contained in tears, able to kill microbes and tear apart many types of bacteria. The mighty lysosome is actually stronger than some chemicals used for disinfecting whole buildings. No artificial disinfectant with similar effects can be applied to the eye. Yet miraculously, such a strong substance does not cause the slightest damage to the eye. This delicately calculated system in the eye is a creation of Almighty God. In one verse it is revealed thus. Surely we create man of the best stature. When examined more closely, it can be better understood what a great miracle of creation this liquid is. Tears are secreted in accurate quantities, just enough to protect the cornea from drying and to maintain the eyeball's characteristic slipperiness. Thus, when the eyeball rotates, there is no uncomfortable friction between its upper layer and the inside of the eyelid. If tears were produced at a lower rate, then friction between the eyeball and eyelid would create never-ending pain. People suffering from a drought of tears experience a constant burning sensation, as if sand were in their eye. Their eyes swell and turn red. In the advanced stages of the illness comes the inevitable blindness. Once any irritating stimulus, foreign particles such as dust, for instance, makes contact with the eyeball surface, tear production increases automatically. In other words, the tear glands are equipped with an accurate balance mechanism that controls secretion in precisely the necessary amounts. Every human being, past and present, has had tears, which do not differ from person to person. It is all-wise God who created the eye as a complete whole for every person. It is He who forms you in the womb, however He wills. There is no God but Him, the Almighty, the All-Wise. From birth, everything a human sees is assembled in the dark, damp atmosphere of the brain. Known as the visual center, a few cubic centimeters in size. The images of a tiny room and that of the widest expanse of landscape both form in this minuscule area. To put this in perspective, everything we own, our childhood, the schools we went to, our home, work, family, country, briefly, every single detail we have ever seen, all came to be in a small piece of flesh. In the first step in seeing, beams of light enter the eye and pass through the cornea, the pupil, and lens. Light-sensitive cells then convert the light into electrical signals to be sent to the brain. The image that comes from the retina is an upside-down picture of the world. But the brain reverses this accordingly. Signals received from each eye contain all the visual information about the object one perceives. The brain combines the two images received from each eye to create the single three-dimensional image you see. It also chooses out the shapes and colors and determines the distance involved. This entire process takes place in less than a tenth of a second. Looking at what has been described so far, we are face to face with the most important fact. The eye is composed of countless different sections and layers that include the cornea, iris, pupil, lens, eyelid, nerves connecting the retina to the brain, and countless other structures. All of them can work together only as a whole. In order for the eyes to see, all those structures and tissues must be present at the same time, working in complete and perfect synchronization. This observation renders completely irrelevant the claims that humans reach their state today through a series of coincidental mutations. Such a perfect organism cannot have come about by means of any power other than creation. It is Almighty God who creates all these systems in such great harmony. In one verse, it is revealed that He is the originator of the heavens and earth. When He decides on something, He just says to it, Be, and it is. The human mind stores some of the images it sees. This stored information is regularly recalled to be used again. When you see an object or a person for the first time, for example, a file opens in your memory for that object. Later, when you come across the same image, the file opens again, and the image within is compared with the image of the present object. In this way, you determine what you are looking at. This system functions automatically in the brains of all human beings, from babies just beginning to learn all about everything, to the elderly. The importance of this subject emerges more clearly when one considers what would happen in the absence of this system, which functions throughout our lives without our being aware of it. For example, the elderly man you are now seeing on the screen is trying to recognize people in the pictures being shown him by a doctor. Yet, due to an accident, the information in his memory disappears within a very short space of time.
Looks familiar, but I don't know who it is. I can't tell you who it is.
Yet one of the people he claims not to recognize is his wife of 48 years. Another is his grandchild, with whom he was walking about hand in hand just a short while before. This person has lost the ability to perceive people's faces as the result of brain surgery. He describes the situation in his own words.
One of the first instances where I realized that I didn't recognize faces was when my son was standing in front of a store with two friends. I figured, I have to know at least one of these three kids. So I was studying their faces as I walked directly towards them. I had no idea who any of them were until the one in the center went, Hi, Dad. Trying to find someone, no matter how well I know them, is an impossible task for me. I've had to go to the beach to look for the kids. Well, how do I find my two kids out of all of these people on the beach?
His son describes his father's disorder thus.
You know, like, when you look at me, you can see my whole face in one picture. You can see if I have small ears, big ears, a small nose, what color my eyes are. He would have to look at you closely. He could look at your left eye, then he could look at your nose, then he could look at your lips and your mouth. But his problem is he can't put it all together into one picture.
It can clearly be seen here that if the requisite functions were not constantly performed in your brain, then you would be unable to recognize the environment you live in, or your loved ones. These words from the man we saw a little earlier once again remind us of the importance of this fact.
I never realized how important facial recognition was until I lost it.
Let us once again review the processes that take place in our brain to recognize what we are seeing now. The mind records certain images and stores them for regular reuse. But where and how are these images recorded? How and by whom are they recovered? A computer records all data on a hard or floppy disk, but the amount of data it can store is limited to those disk's capacity. Yet the brain can easily store millions of images in a piece of flesh. God creates miracles in the depths of the human body, in tiny points too small to be seen with the naked eye, that far exceed human understanding. The sense of sight and the flawless systems within it reveal to us God's infinite might. Everything at every moment, every image we perceive, comes about only through the will of God. For that reason, every second we see represents a separate test for us. The truth is revealed in the Quran. We created man from a mingled drop to test him, and we made him hearing and seeing. We humans find ourselves born with two eyes, but most people never question why this is so. In fact, each eye can see on its own, and separate images form in each one. Why, therefore, do we have two eyes? The eyes are spaced approximately 5 centimeters apart, and each has a different perspective to the outside world, apart from the other. A single eye can see only two-dimensionally. Yet a great miracle takes place here. The brain creates the final three-dimensional image from these two-dimensional images received from both eyes. By picking out the differences between them, the brain is able to determine depth and distance. If the two images formed separately in the eyes were combined not fully in the brain, then we would see double, and in two dimensions only. By means of a simple experiment, you can see the difference between the two images. Look at the branches of a tree, first with both your eyes open. After a few moments, shut one eye and keep staring at the branches. A minute later, uncover your eye and you'll notice that the branches appear deeper than before. Another experiment is trying to thread a needle with one eye closed. You will find this impossible, because with monocular vision, you have no sense of depth. Merging two separate images and creating a three-dimensional result is a process that requires perfect calculations. This flawless system is the work of the all-knowing and all-powerful God. The flawlessness of God's creation is described in a verse as follows. He who created the 7 heavens in layers. You will not find any flaw in the creation of the All-Merciful. Look again. Do you see any gaps? Through his life, man encounters millions of images, the most pleasant of which are images filled with color. When you look at a landscape, you find the colors and beauty most agreeable. The magnificent color in a field of flowers, for example, seems to calm us down inside. Attractive tones of the sky and sea and the beautiful artwork of flowers are all due to color. In reality, however, what we call color in the outside world is actually the brain's interpretation of differing wavelengths. The difference between a red flower and a blue car is actually the difference in the wavelengths of light that each reflects. If there were no such thing as color, and if everything was in differing tones of gray, the world would become significantly less exciting. Our enjoyment of the sea, forests, fashion, and even food would be drastically reduced. However, all the colors of nature are created to please and agree with humans. It is a miracle by itself that the concept of color actually exists, but it's a great blessing that these colors are beautifully and harmoniously put to use by God. Don't you see that God sends down water from the sky, and by it we bring forth fruits of varying colors? And in the mountains there are streaks of white and red, of varying shades, and rocks of deep jet black. And mankind and beasts and livestock are likewise of varying colors. Only those of his servants with knowledge fear God. God is almighty, ever forgiving. Along with the improvements in technology, we have come to realize how miraculous the human eye actually is. Whenever a new discovery about the eye is made, a new camera or optical system based on it is released very soon afterwards. But however much technology may advance, no electronic systems have been anything more than primitive copies of the eye. Before taking a photograph, the first thing you should do is focus the image to make it clear and sharp. In the eye, our lens adjusts itself according to its distance from the object we're looking at. With a camera, and also on instruments like microscopes and telescopes, adjustments must be done by hand, unless the machine is automatic. While this process takes place, the picture in the camera's viewfinder becomes blurred. In each instance, this focusing takes some time. In the human eye, however, focusing takes far less than a second, without causing any blurred vision, using a method that no technology can copy. The lens, situated immediately behind the iris and the pupil, breaks down incoming beams of light and focuses them on the retina. With the aid of muscles surrounding it, the lens is able to change shape, allowing it to adjust itself according to the angle light comes in, ensuring it is always directed onto the retina. When you look at a point close to your eyes, muscles flex your lens into a more convex position. But when you view a distant point, the muscles relax, stretching the lens into a flatter configuration and thus clarifying the images of distant objects. Perfectly clear images emerge as a result. If the lens couldn't adjust by itself, we'd have to find some other means to focus in on objects. This would require manual effort and great inconvenience on our part, since our vision would often remain foggy before we could complete the focusing process. Simply looking at an object would take time, slowing down our lives considerably. But when we do want to focus on an object at a certain distance, we need not make any measurements or optical calculations. To see, all we need to do is look. Everything else is done for us by the eye and the brain, automatically. The lenses used in cameras reach their present level of technology after years of research. These devices gradually age, go wrong, and require spare parts, however. Besides, cameras are produced by expert technicians in special factories using many different materials. The eye, on the other hand, forms in the mother's womb as the result of the division of a single cell and performs its functions perfectly throughout a person's life. If you tie a camera atop your head and run or walk while filming, the resulting image will bear traces of shaking and slippage. Yet as you walk or run, your eyes, which register images just like two cameras fixed to your head, never make you feel uncomfortable. There is never any shaking or slippage in the images you see. All these comparisons clearly reveal the miraculous proofs of creation in the eye. God has created human being with a flawless order, together with all the systems it requires. Say, it is He who brought you into being and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts. What little thanks you show! Throughout the course of this film, you have witnessed how opening and closing one's eyes and interpreting and remembering what one sees all come about. Up until now, you may never have thought about what a great miracle all these things are. Yet this system continued to function, without your being aware of it, throughout this film you have just watched, just as it has from the day you were born. Every single detail, from the transparency of the lens to the way the image is reversed as it falls on the retina, from the production of tears in just the right quantity to the nerves leading to the brain, reveals to us a matchless creative artistry. The evident truth is that the eye is the work of a superior intellect. That incomparable intellect belongs to God, Lord of the worlds. God's might is unbounded. That is God, your Lord. There is no God but Him, the creator of everything. So worship Him. He is responsible for everything. Imagine for a moment that you had lost your eyes. Your long list of lifetime plans and ambitions will be sidelined by just one wish, to regain your lost eyesight. If your eyes can see at this very moment, think again about what a great blessing this is. He has given you everything you have asked Him for. If you tried to number God's blessings, you could never count them. Man is indeed wrongdoing, ungrateful.